Hi, everybody. This is Catherine from the National Center for Family Philanthropy. Welcome to our monthly topical call for the Community Foundation's Family Philanthropy Network. I have just a few housekeeping items to share before we get started. This call series is on the second Tuesday of the month at 2 p.m. Eastern Time for no more than an hour. It's your opportunity to learn from your peers, ask questions of each other, provide your own tips, insights, and more information on the topic of the day. I'm Catherine Scott, Director for your Community Foundation Network and call facilitator. Just for a few logistics, your lines are now open. That means they're not muted. You can use *2 to mute your phone and unmute your phone, or you can use your own mute function. This is meant to be an interactive conversation. We hope you'll jump in. Remember, you can also press *9 to raise your hand electronically if you prefer, but it's pretty easy to mute and unmute. Remember to say your name and city when you ask a question or offer your insight. We're recording the call and we'll add it to our network's Dropbox folder for folks who miss it. Just let me know if you need access to watch our Dropbox folder or see anything inside. Before we start the topic, let's do a quick round of introductions. I can just see area codes in our control panel. So when I say your area code, please say your name and your foundation. 515. Can I ask who's joining us from 515?
Hi, this is the Community Foundation of Greater Des Moines.
Perfect. Do you guys want to introduce who's there?
This is Lynn Yance. I'm the Chief Charitable Giving Officer.
Hi, I'm Brigetta Beardsley, Director of Donor Relations.
I'm Abby Wolfson, Marketing Coordinator.
Awesome. It sounds like a full room. Oh. Is there somebody else?
I found that. Donor Services Coordinator.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It sounds like an awesome full room in Des Moines. Who's joining us from 920?
This is Anna Engelhard with the Community Foundation for the Fox Valley Region.
How about 503?
Hi, this is the Oregon Community Foundation. I'm Jennifer Curry, Senior Donor Relations Officer.
And thanks, Jennifer.
Keep going. We've got a couple other people.
Perfect. So
Kim Schmucker from the Family Giving Center here at Oregon Community Foundation.
And Caitlin Rafinak, Senior Research Officer.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Who's joining us from 231?
This is Sarah Ford from the Petoskey Harbor Springs Area Community Foundation.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for joining us. Thanks. How about 614?
Hi, this is Carmen Savarino, Assistant Donor Services Officer from the Boston Foundation.
Thanks for joining us, Carmen. I think we have someone from 651.
Yes, you have the St. Paul and Minnesota Community Foundation. I'm Shannon Gehagen, Partner Relations Officer.
And I'm Becky Stibia, Partner Relations Officer.
Awesome. And I think we have a second group of people from 503. Did we get everybody?
Hi, it's Ann George from.
Go ahead, Ann.
Ann George from the Oregon Community Foundation, but the Central Oregon and Eastern Oregon office.
Thanks, Ann. Did we have somebody else from 503 too that I didn't catch?
Just us jumping the gun, sorry. Oregon Community Foundation, we already introduced ourselves.
Perfect. And did I get everybody? I think there might be one person I missed. The area code system is not perfect. Perfect. I think that's everybody. Thank you all for joining us. So on to today's topic. Our topic today is donor roundtables and donor education experiences. I'm really excited we have Anne from Community Foundation for the Fox Valley region, Jennifer from Oregon Community Foundation, and Carmen from the Boston Foundation, all here to share with all of you to kick off the conversation and share a few examples. I think they're all at different places, and everyone can always brainstorm different things for their donor roundtables and donor education, so they're really excited to learn from all of you. So, Anne, can we have you go ahead and kick us off and share a little bit about your donor education roundtable?
Absolutely. So, Community Foundation for the Fox Valley region has really gone through significant growth in the last 5 or 6 years. And about 3 years ago, we started a very deliberate effort to increase our contact engagement with our donors, to make sure that we were providing educational opportunities for them and to better educate them on community needs, and also working toward a goal of increasing our co-funding with donors. So programs that we were funding through the Community Foundation's grant cycles that would have unmet need, making sure that our donors had the opportunity to jump in and help some of these programs or initiatives get launched and off the ground at the very beginning rather than coming in later, kind of going on that concept that we wanted them to be some of the first to know what was going on in the community. One of the first things that we implemented around this strategy was we started a monthly donor email that comes directly from their staff contact at the Community Foundation to the fund advisors. So it basically is an email blast, but a little bit more personalized because they're in smaller groups that they're sent out. And we do it to all fund types, not just to donor advised funds. So we're communicating with, for instance, our scholarship fund contacts, sharing some of the same opportunities with them that are available to all of our other donors, with the belief that if they're philanthropic enough to create a scholarship fund, they may be looking to do other philanthropic or have other philanthropic opportunities and interests in the community as well. So in those emails, we share Community Foundation news. We present topics and causes that we want to highlight. We use it as our conduit to invite our fund contacts and donors to learn more and to donor roundtables and events. They are very short emails, especially considering sometimes we're introducing some pretty meaty topics. We try to keep it to approximately 450 words. Our donor education events or roundtables, they could be held at the Community Foundation office or off-site at a nonprofit organization. We host approximately 6 to 8 of them a year. And we have a varying number of people that attend. I would say the smallest group that we've ever had has been around 5 people, and that's not uncommon if it's more of a specialized topic, and we've had as many as, 40 to 45 people show up as well. They do need to RSVP, and we vary the time to meet differing schedules and demographics. So we'll host some in the morning, lunchtime, and then late afternoon, evening time. Examples of some of the events that we've done, we did a lunch where we invited the local symphony in, and they brought a quartet with them, and then also the conductor came, and he outlined what it takes to produce a season for the symphony, kind of the education, how they select the music, and then he talked through the upcoming season. That was one of our best loved ones from a donor perspective. It was not only interesting from, that it's a nonprofit in our community, but entertaining as well. So we get asks to redo that one, I'd say, at least every year. Now, we'll do it a second time in the coming year. We do sneak peeks. So if there's new buildings or new programs, We had a new Boys and Girls Club open in one of the cities that we serve. So we had kind of a behind-the-scenes tour, a sneak peek before that actually was open to the public, so that our donors were invited to take a look look at that building and see that capital campaign, the capital campaign results in the building. We do site tours, and sometimes they're to announce like a building capital campaign to demonstrate what the need is, why they need more space. We did one of those this fall with the domestic abuse shelter, where they were just launching their capital campaign, hosted a coffee breakfast there, and there were tours of the building, and the executive director and the staff discussed why the addition was necessary and what the space would entail, and showed drawings and stuff like that. We've had site tours that are issue-based. We have a child advocacy center that is part of Children's Hospital of Wisconsin that operates in one of our areas. And this past summer, they did a focus-based site tour where donors were able to come and meet with the CAC staff, learn about that whole process, tour the facility, and then we went back to their development offices, and they actually hosted a panel of local professionals that become involved with the CAC, and the panel had our local district attorney, representatives from the police department, medical representatives. It was just a fabulous conversation, and the donors just felt so educated about a cause that is rarely talked about and kind of lives in the shadows. We also host roundtables that we call Conversations with Kurt. Kurt is the CEO, and so we'll structure some of our roundtables kind of in that structure, where Kurt will present on a topic or something new. Last year, we just redid our life study for our community, looking at many different demographics and data points, and kind of looking at what should be some of the guiding forces for philanthropy in our community. And Kurt kind of dug in to some of that data, and other staff members also presented to educate donors on how important that information is. Things that we've heard from donors.
I know I want to make sure we have time to hear from Jennifer and Carmen. So can I ask you to kind of sum up, and then we'll move forward? And I know people have lots of questions. We actually just had 5 to 10 more people hop on the phone line.
Okay. I've got 3 quick things. We've heard from donors that they really enjoy getting to know other donors and having that opportunity to network with other donors within the Community Foundation. They really like the anonymity of being in a group setting, where it's not as intimidating as being on a site tour or with an organization themselves. And one point that we always drive home to donors is that there is no obligation for funding. We are presenting community needs. We're trying to educate them. And if they're interested, please attend, even if it's something they would never fund. It's just an opportunity for education.
That's perfect. I apologize for interrupting, but I know people will have tons of questions for you.
No.
So I'm excited to get through our other 2 speakers so everyone can ask their questions. Thank you so much. And those sound so varied, but it was awesome to hear all the different types. I know Conversations with Kurt actually sounds really exciting. So from that to the symphony. So Jennifer, do you want to share a little bit about your donor roundtables, and then we'll hear from Carmen? Jennifer is from the Oregon Community Foundation, so we'll let her go next.
Thank you so much. And I'm going to focus on work we've been doing around the environment. There are a lot of other things we do, but I know we want to have good time for questions. So our foundation was started with timber money, and the work we've done on the environment has changed over time. In 2014, our board adjusted our broad-based grant-making program to call out the environment in its guidelines more specifically than it had in the past, and we had a group of donors very interested in environmental work who were asking for more opportunity together. Donors often talk about wanting to meet each other and work together and learn. So we started some meetings with donors and then our board strategic opportunities committee to think about what might be possible. We had multiple convenings with donors around the environment and what they care about. They shared about what they supported. And eventually we wound up contracting with an environmental philanthropy consultant we know well in the state who worked in partnership with our strategic opportunities committee around water and community-based community work to solve water issues in the state, and then also work with donors to identify issues they care about. And that developed into a concept of climate change and healthy habitat. The consultant created a docket of applications the board considered and supported. We then brought the donors together to see that report and learn from a panel. We then moved into, I think the board may have done 2 years of grants. In the meantime, donors continued to express interest in content. So this year we hosted monthly webinars on different topics around the environment, many called up on by donors that they were interested in, and then in work with this consultant to design the panels of who would speak. And those are available in recording. We've now shifted into our first ever what we're calling a collective giving group that's going to look at both climate change and healthy habitat. Donors were invited to make a contribution and be part of a decision-making process. And donors were invited to be involved even if they didn't make a contribution. We just made the decision that votes would be attached to gifts. The consultant's work has been paid for over time in partnership with OCF discretionary money, advice fund donors, and then even some private foundations in the region that were aware of what we were doing. I'm really happy Ann George is on the phone. I don't want to put Ann on the spot. Now, I'm glad to know Ann's there. Ann joined us recently and has deep facilitation experience and will be working closely with the donors and the collective giving group moving forward. What's been really nice about this is it's a statewide effort. So the webinars are a way people across the state can participate. When we've had meetings in the Portland office, we've had donors from other regions come into our regional offices to participate by video conference. And then we've had some events in the regions. There was an event with some nonprofits hosted in Eugene recently, and tonight we're having one here in Portland with donors and environmental leadership from some different organizations donors have been supporting and from organizations representing movements toward a more diverse and equitable environmental landscape. I don't want to take up too much more time. I could go on, but that's probably the most intensive thing we've done to date over a sustained period that's continued to evolve based on what donors are interested in.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing. And I think it's a really good, it's a very different example than Anne, just of how you can go, I think, in sporadic opportunities and really go deep in different opportunities. And it's exciting to hear both because, of course, some donors are sporadic in their giving and some donors go deep. So I think it's really awesome and exciting. Thank you for sharing. And I know lots of people will have questions. If it's all right, we're going to go ahead and have Carmen share next from the Boston Foundation. So Carmen, I'm excited to hear more about your donor education.
Great. So it was really interesting to hear the first two speakers because what we're doing at the Boston Foundation, there's a lot of similar threads. We do have a series of philanthropic workshops, and I think that they've been started for about 5 years, a little bit before my time when I joined the team. But we usually do between 4 and 6 workshops throughout the year on a series of different topics. And that's just a really great opportunity for donors to be able to come together in a safe space where they can share ideas and there's an expert in the room to, you know, have kind of a lunch and learn workshop type setting. So a couple of examples of topics that we've done in the past is we've done an impact investing workshop. We've done one called Find Your Focus, where it's been in conjunction with the philanthropic initiative to really talk about, you know, where donors want to focus and how to create like a mission statement for their donor advised fund. And also if they have some questions about international giving. Another one that comes to mind that was really popular was called Leaving a Legacy. And we brought in an estate planner to talk to donors. We created a workbook that they could take home and go through with their families and their children to talk about how they would want to leave their donor advised fund and to talk about leaving a legacy. Those are some of the top ones that we have gotten great feedback from donors and are thinking about, you know, maybe recreating in the next year or two because we've received such great feedback. And then kind of thinking about what Jennifer had said about the environment, that's really a hot topic right now at the Boston Foundation too. We don't have a specific strategic program around the environment, but we have many donors at the foundation who have voiced interest in wanting to really get involved and come together and meet each other. About a year and a half ago, we hopped onto a new donor portal for our donors called Donor First. And as part of that, one of the great things that we've been able to kind of test run with donors who are interested in the environment is there's an opportunity for them to connect and kind of form groups where they can say, I'm interested in learning about the environment and connecting with other donors who are too. And then there's also almost a way where we can post information and they can comment, kind of like a closed board on Facebook. So that's been really interesting to see how the conversations go for donors who are interested in that area. And right now we haven't done that much with it. It's still in the beginning phases, but we do have another group that comes together and actually uses our space. It's comprised of different leaders in the area that are doing work in the environment and coming together to learn from each other. And so we've opened that up to the group of donors who are interested in coming to learn more and kind of think and partner with us on how we can be strategic about moving this work forward. And then the last thing that I wanted to mention is that we have a lot of great partnerships with our arts and culture team at the foundation. And about a year ago, we had a donor who is a dancer and a choreographer herself. And she came to the foundation and really wanted to create a partnership with the Boston Foundation for the lack of funding for choreographers in the space. And so we created an entire initiative based on her partnership and expertise in the area. And there's actually a grant process that's up on our website and a fully fledged process for choreographers to receive money to rent out space, because that's a big issue in Boston of there not being enough space for the different nonprofits in the area since the rent is just very expensive. And then also grant money so that they can work with consultants, they can create their own works and kind of have around $5,000 of funds to help take their project to the next level. And the last thing I'll say about that is we're really excited. We had a couple of round tables where donors came to learn about the work and talk about where they'd want to see the dance landscape go in the future. And we actually have something scheduled next week at a donor's home. It's going to be an informal dinner donor discussion at the home of an arts donor. And we're hoping to learn more about, you know, where the art strategy wants to go with this program.
Thanks for sharing, Carmen. That's really exciting. And I know at the Boston Foundation, you always have like a calendar of different donor events that donors can kind of opt into. So I think it's neat to learn about the different opportunities you've had, but even also how you've engaged donors on a topic like the environment where you don't have a program officer overseeing funding necessarily.
Correct.
That's awesome. So I'd love to open it up to people to ask questions of Anne, Jennifer, and Carmen, or to share a little bit about your experience. So does anyone have a question for Anne, Jennifer, or Carmen? Just a quick reminder, if you muted yourself, you hit *2 to unmute.
This is Jennifer, and we have a question we'd like to ask.
Yeah,
this is Caitlin. Again, we're from the Oregon Community Foundation. And Carmen, I was wondering how much engagement you see through that donor portal option where donors can connect with others around common interests.
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's still in like a, you know, a very early phase where we're using the environment as kind of the guinea pig to see how it will work. So there's not a lot of engagement yet, but we're hoping as, you know, as we learn more and the Donor First is actually going to be moving over to another system. And as that moves over in a couple of months, we're hoping to kind of build out that idea. And the other thing is, I can tell you, in the past, we had ways to track donors' interest, but it wasn't super easy to tell if that information was up to date. And we've actually moved over to a new system. We moved over to Salesforce about 5 months ago. And so we have a lot more flexibility in being able to make sure that we can track what donors' interests are. And then in the donor portal, it's very responsive to that. So if they opted into wanting to see, you know, all information about arts and culture, but also education, opportunities would pop up on their home screen when they log in, and then they would also be able to opt into those closed discussion groups. And that's something that we are going to be exploring more. Right now there's not a lot of participation in the group, but I think it's an added bonus for donors to know that that it's there.
That's really cool. Thank you for sharing.
Any other questions?
If you just joined, you click *2 to unmute yourself if you're muted, and we'll wait just a second in case anybody has questions. And I know we wanted to get through all our speakers so we could get to questions. Can I ask, is there one thing you wish you could do or you're excited or like a goal you wish you could do with your donor learning?
What we're really focusing on this year is trying to increase the number and also the variety. We really have not focused in on one topic. We like having the opportunity to present needs that we view as important in the community. We like giving nonprofits the opportunity, if they have something exciting, to give them the stage to tell their own story. And then also, other things that may come up. So we're currently, right now, scheduling out through the year. We tend not to do things in January, February, and March, just because we have many snowbirds that are our donors. Being in northeastern Wisconsin, it's not a climate that, if you're retired, you want to stick around in for the winter months.
That's fair. I think you and Carmen may have a lot in common today. Being covered in blizzard force weather. And Jennifer, do you have other? Go for it, please.
I have a question. I was just curious how each of the three organizations, how you define success in this work.
This is Anne, and I'll take a stab at that. I would say our primary motivator and how we are defining success is more donor engagement and having additional donor interaction. Oftentimes donors want to meet and talk with you, but not as frequently as maybe we feel would be beneficial to keep moving them along that that kind of pathway to being more engaged donors. So these opportunities provide us with more contact points. One thing that we were surprised about when we started the monthly email was how often we get responses back from our donors about something completely different than what the email was, but it's almost was the topic of the email. It's almost as if they've had these things on their mind and they just, you know, you don't get to it, but when you have an email pop up in your inbox, they tend to respond with different questions or, you know, oh, I saw this. So that's really been interesting just to have another communication tool that makes them kind of bounce back to us.
Thank you. Jennifer or Carmen, do you want to share your success metric?
This is Jennifer, and I'm happy to share. I don't think we have, and if someone can correct me if they can think of more really specific metrics we're using, we are doing a survey of our donors right now, which will, I think, help us look even more at that donor engagement. What we're hearing from is that donors want the activity. Last fall, we held our first ever all-day donor conference that a committee of donors helped design. And the feedback from that survey was they would like more. And with this environmental work, donors have given us feedback that they'd like more engagement. We're always trying to be mindful that they're busy and have a lot to do. We do have donors who are hungry for that interaction. And we know it's not all donors, but we're having responsiveness to these different opportunities we're offering up. I'll be interested. Caitlin's working on our, heading up work on our strategic plan, and I'll be interested to see what kind of light the survey shines on how that's working as another way for us to measure it.
And then I can add to that from the Boston Foundation. So we also don't have any specific metrics that we're using right now, although we're hoping that we'll be able to track that more effectively now that we've transferred over to Salesforce and have a lot more tools that we can use. But one thing that we have been thinking about this year when planning our donor engagement and our events is really just making sure that we can leverage other things that are happening at the foundation at the same time. So, you know, I'm sure everyone out there can relate where we are doing a lot of events and planning a lot of things. And so we tried to take a step back this time and just really be active in what we think the donors want to see. But we actually didn't plan any philanthropic workshops this year. We're thinking about maybe doing some in the late spring or maybe, you know, get back into the routine in the fall. But a lot of wonderful events have just popped up that we've been able to latch onto from the program side and really leverage, you know, all of the resources that we have at the foundation, as well as, you know, when a donor comes to us and has a donor partnership or an idea that they want to work with us on and they feel really excited, making sure that we can do events or do partnerships that are really impactful and that might take up a lot of time. So we've tried to just kind of tone back the amount of events that we have, and I think that that has really helped us to be able to spend more time and have more bandwidth to invest in the events that we have going on this year.
That makes a lot of sense. I think, Anne, I know you highlighted something, and this may be true for you, Carmen, as well. When you were speaking, you also highlighted increasing co-funding as one objective. Is that something that I think that's something that at least Anne talked about, I think. So that's probably also a, not necessarily a success metric, but a goal.
Yes, that is definitely a goal. This is Anne from Fox Valley. That is definitely a goal. And we actually revamped the Community Foundation's granting program this last year to be more inclusive and also have more opportunities for donors to hear some of the pitches that are coming directly to the Community Foundation at the very beginning. We're still kind of taking baby steps into that that process, and we've done several pilots, but inviting donors in when we think there's an interest area that may appeal to them or a specific slice that they've talked about to see how they like being in the granting committee and watching the process unfold.
That's awesome. Thank you. I know we've had quite a few people actually join in the last minute, in the last couple of minutes. So we're talking through donor roundtables with Anne, Jennifer, and Carmen from three of our member foundations. If anybody has a question, we'd love to have them chime in. Jennifer, I'd love to ask, is environment, I think, a special area of focus for your donors, such that, like, in your other areas, do you have similar work that you're doing with webinars, or is environment just special for you?
The environment's been a place where we've had focus with a group of donors interested. Other work we've done has often been focused on foundation-led efforts. Caitlin's in the midst of traveling the state this month to share a research report we did on the opportunity gap. And we have done events and work in the past on early childhood education. But the environmental piece was a place where there were donors with appetite, interest, and capacity to really step it up in a different way. We are hosting an event this summer at our area LGBTQ plus community foundation to talk about the state of LGBTQ plus funding in Oregon. We've had some donors ask for work on that, and I know that we always want to be responsive to what donors are interested in, find space for it. I will acknowledge that the environmental work is intensive, and I'm sure we'll continue to evolve what it is. The collective giving group, for example, is so new to us, and I'll be interested to see where it goes from here. But donor appetite and commitment has a lot of energy there.
That's fascinating, and it's really exciting, and it sounds like your donors are very, very engaged in what is extensive. Have you had donors actually sponsor that work as well?
Which work? I'm sorry, the phone cut out.
That's NCFP's phone. I apologize. Have you had donors actually sponsor the environment work directly as well?
Yes, so donors helped us underwrite the, there were a group of donors who helped support having the consultant. There are donors who partnered on the water projects the board picked. There were donors who made a vote, and they made their first grant through the collective giving group last fall in relation to the carbon capping work that was happening here. And then that consultant's also been available to support specific donors interested, so that's been happening too.
That's awesome, and it sounds like your donors are definitely able to have such increased impact through just connecting with the consultant directly and connecting with each other. That's amazing. Does anybody else have a question for our three experts here? Would anyone like to share an experience of what they're doing?
This is Anne. I have a question for Carmen. With your organization transitioning to Salesforce, was that part of your donor engagement strategy that platform provided you with more opportunities, or were there other driving factors in that decision?
Sure. So, I mean, there definitely were other driving factors as well, but at the same time, I think that it's going to be really great for the organization because we'll be able to track events more effectively in the coming months when that module is built out. And then we'll be able to see if there's any coordination between different events that donors attend and then what their engagement level is, their level of giving. We'll be able to, right now, we're able to give, send information out to donors based on what their interest areas are, but I think that we'll be able to just refine that even more the more data that we are collecting and are able to track in the system.
Did it replace your existing donor database, or did you add it in addition to?
Yes. So we did add Salesforce in addition to. We, before that, had Foundation Power, which we are still using currently, but it is being used more on the finance side to keep track of all of the accounting.
How about our colleagues from St. Paul, Minnesota? Would you want to share what you guys are doing in your donor roundtables?
Hi, this is Shannon from St. Paul, Minnesota Community Foundation. Took me a minute to unmute, but we are doing something that sounds maybe a bit like what some of the other groups are doing. We're calling it Giving Together program, and it's marketed as an information exchange, and we invite our fund holders to come. It's always been a lunch so far at this point, and so we invite people that have donor advised funds or planned gifts or the types of funds with the organization to come to lunch and listen to a panel that is comprised of different heads of similar organizations doing similar types of work in our community, and they will tackle a specific topic. So we have one tomorrow, and what's the topic, ladies? Is it
immigration and refugees?
Immigration and refugees. And so we have, I think, three representatives from different nonprofits in the Twin Cities that do immigrant and refugee work. So they'll talk a little bit about what each of their organizations does. So we'll see similarities in some of these organizations and where the organizations differ and some of the trends and things. And then our fund holders have an opportunity to network with each other. So again, I think that idea of sort of anonymity in a large group, but then they can ask questions and find out specifically from the experts themselves what they're doing. And so it's been a very popular type of event for us here. And I think we're going on our second year of this. And we have about 70 some attendees attending tomorrow. For us, that's a really good number.
That's an amazing number. I think a lot of people say they want programs, but not everybody actually signs up to come, especially in the middle of winter.
Right, and in the middle of winter, and people are just like, please have the sunshine. But I think here for us, we started with this idea. We do the same thing where we don't, there's no pressure to make a gift, but we have found that some people do make gifts afterwards because they're introduced to new organizations. And we started knowing that we weren't sure who would come or what the response would be. And so we've done surveys after the fact to get people's input. And we've done a range of topics, and so I think we'll have three or four this year. We picked the dates at the beginning of the year, sent it out so people could get on their calendar. We find we have a lot of repeat business. People love to come to events and get a free lunch, and then we cycle people in and out that are more related to the specific topic.
I have one other question. So I used to work at community foundations, and I know we used to analyze donor grants. It's a very intense process. I'm sure a couple of you are groaning as we speak at the analysis that it takes to analyze them. How do you pick the topics that you do? Is it based off analysis of donor grants or based off what you guys are thinking or hearing? Or how do you pick the different areas?
This past year, we did our first sort of step dive into analyzing where our donor advised fund holders grant to, because we're really trying to turn the trend of highlighting only the work that happens on our competitive grant-making side, our unrestricted endowment, and trying to show where there are intersections so that we can encourage maybe our fund holders or show them, highlight to them that we have more in common than not in common. And so we really have taken a look. It started out with pulling a list of all of the grants from our database in the spreadsheet, and I sorted it. So, and then tried to group it together into different, categories. We used some of the NTEE codes, and then some of it was based off of just more general knowledge of the local organizations that we have. So we've done, I think, several things, knowing that our foundation has some strategic priorities in different areas. So we've chosen some of the topics for Giving Together events based off of those strategic priorities, knowing that they also tend to be some organizations that our fund holders are interested in. And then sometimes if it was more related around an event that was, or a topic that was something that came up that was important current events-wise, so we've used a variety of ways to come up with the topics. One time we had an event, or two times we've had an event that were related to one of our fund holders themselves does some work at a local university around Alzheimer's research. So we use that as an opportunity to provide a special event opportunity. And then our CEO had a contact with another individual at a, it was about birds, the Cornell School of
Ornithology.
So we use that as an opportunity because it was a unique thing. So we have them set up based on topic because of the what we feel would be interest and some of the ideas and priorities that the foundation has. And then sometimes we leave space for one or two that pop based off of, you know, just a unique opportunity that we think our fund holders might enjoy.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. It's amazing. And I know that data is not fun to crunch, but it's so exciting when you're using data on what your donors care about and what you definitely have in common.
It made a big difference. And after the first, you know, after I kind of went through and we decided what do we really want to get out of the data, then we were able to use one of our people that is their actual job, and he took my ideas and was able to kind of mechanize that. So that's been very helpful.
Awesome and really exciting. Does anybody else have any questions for anyone on the line? I know we haven't heard from our colleagues in Des Moines, Hampton Roads, or Petoskey.
This is Des Moines. We were the ones that asked the question about the success metric. Sorry, we didn't identify.
Yes, I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. The area codes versus actual faces always gives me a bit of pause. I'm so sorry.
This is Sarah and Petoskey, and I just really appreciate all of the information. We're trying to kind of build more of a donor education and outreach program, so these are all really great ideas. I appreciate the insight.
That's awesome. Well, I think if nobody else has any other questions, I think we can wrap up and give you guys the extra 10 minutes at the end of the hour to everybody, you know, go get ready for your next meeting. Does anybody have any other questions before we conclude? So I will follow up with Ann, Jennifer, and Carmen to get some of the resources that they've talked about. I know they talked about recorded webinars, specific reports, a newsletter, maybe even just seeing an agenda of some of their past donor programs. If anybody has any other resources you've discussed that you'd love to share, I'd love to gather them for our Dropbox folder where we save the different materials. Just a quick reminder, we'll see a bunch of you at CF United next week. So next week at Community Foundations United on Monday, we have a session. So come support your colleagues next Monday afternoon. Be in the back to be their cheering squad, or, you know, think of them fondly on Monday afternoon. On Tuesday, we're having a cocktails and conversation happy hour sponsored by the National Center, really to honor all of you and to think about the future of family philanthropy and how we can best support the field with all of your Community Foundation colleagues. So we'll be excited to have you join us. If you or your colleagues are attending CF United, or if you have friends coming, feel free to invite them to join us, and we'll be excited to see all of you. Neil, our vice president, will be there as well, and I'll be there as will Tony. Our next call will be the second Tuesday of the month, next month at 2 p.m., and next Tuesday we'll discuss actually the Amelia Island Group and Community Foundations United and just sharing what everybody's hearing from the professional development opportunities they've been a part of. So if you're not able to join the conference or you're not able to attend one of these conferences, this is a great way to get some professional development in an hour and hear what your colleagues are hearing in trends across the field. If you are able to attend, it's a great way to share and get reflections because there's always so many things at conferences and we can't make it to all of them. It's hard to digest all your learning. So we'll be excited to have you all join us next Tuesday, the second Tuesday of the month in March. in, I apologize, the second Tuesday of the month in April. That's my apology. I'm so sorry. And we'll be excited to see some of you at CIA United next week on Monday through Wednesday. Thanks, and have a great Tuesday.